from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on ASEAN to make IMTGT a building block. Indonesia asks Vietnam to wrap up talks on maritime border. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on ASEAN member countries to make the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, IMTGT, a building block that could contribute to the regional association. President Joko Widodo said at the 11th IMTGT meeting at Banyan Room, Shangri-La Hotel, Singapore, on Saturday, April 28th, that Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand must ensure that this cooperation brings concrete and inclusive benefits to the people as well as the people of ASEAN. He also proposed a number of steps that must be taken immediately to realize this and promote inclusive growth in the IMTGT region. He stated that the main step that must be taken is infrastructure development, especially physical connectivity projects, PCP, that can accelerate the flow of goods, services, and passengers. In addition, a number of cooperation in various priority areas, such as agro-industry, tourism, and the development of the digital economy, should also be continuously improved. President Joko Widodo also encouraged the improvement of skills, competitiveness, and ability to contribute positively through the Center for IMTGT Sub-Regional Cooperation, CIMT. He noted that the three countries managed to achieve some progress while entering 25 years of IMTGT cooperation. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Saturday, April 29, asked Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc to immediately wrap up negotiations on the Exclusive Economic Zone, EEZ, between the two neighboring countries. President Joko Widodo raised the border issue at a bilateral meeting with a Vietnamese Prime Minister on the sidelines of the ASEAN Summit Conference being held in the city country. A number of the result of Joint Council Bilateral Cooperation JCBC meeting need immediate follow-up talks include issue of maritime borders between Indonesia and Vietnam. Conclusion of the border talks would prevent unnecessary incident and would help promote fishery and maritime cooperation. Indonesian authorities have detained and exploited a number of foreign fishing boats, including Vietnamese fishing vessels caught illegally fishing in Indonesian waters. The Indonesian president also said that the drafting of 2019 to 2023 action plan on strategic partnership between the two countries should be finished in November 2018. He expressed appreciation for the agreement to remove bottlenecks that export of motor vehicles from Indonesia to Vietnam could be normal again soon and the bilateral trade target of $10 billion set for 2020 could come to reality. Grand Sheikh of Al-Azhar, Ahmed Mohamed Ahmed Al-Tayyib, had arrived in Jakarta on Sunday, April 29. A press release of the President's Special Envoy for Dialogue and Interfaith Cooperation and Civilization in Jakarta has reported the arrival of Sheikh Al-Azhar to Indonesia in order to become a keynote speaker in high-level consultation of the World Muslim Scholars on Wasatiyat Islam, or high-level consultation of ulama and the World Muslim Scholars on the Islamic Wasatiyat in Bogor, West Java, from May the 1st to the 3rd. This consultation forum will be opened by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and closed by Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Earlier, the President's Special Envoy for Dialogue and Interfaith Cooperation and Civilization, Din Samsudin, said the presence of Sheikh Al-Azhar is quite important for Indonesia. Din Samsudin explained that the forum will discuss the Wasatiyat Islam, or Islam the Middle Way, starting from the level of conception, its implementation from time to time, since the Prophet Muhammad era, the Indonesia's experience in implementing the Wasatiyat Islam, until the challenge and opportunities of Wasatiyat Islam in global civilization. Head of the National Museum of Indonesia, Siswanto, said, "The Rejuvenate, the National Museum, the museum managers will present a concept of story entitled Menjadi Indonesia. The concept will be applied at Building A of the National Museum by displaying artifacts that tell about history." Siswanto, in a press conference at the National Museum, Jakarta on Sunday, April 29, said that there will be stories about the ancestors and Indonesian history, and with the national anthem of Indonesia Raya and the song Bendera Merah Putih.
Nah, ini ke depan, ini ruang yang kita sudah siapkan.
For the future, the space we have prepared from the right wing and left wing, as I said before, entitled Menjadi Indonesia or Being Indonesia. We will prepare Menjadi Indonesia in other stories from prehistoric times and an era where our ancestors still used stone tools. Their race is still different, namely Homo erectus, than the 700,000 years ago up to the independence era. The story will end with the songs Indonesia Raya and Bendera Merah Putih. Siswanto hope the program can be realized before the Asian Games 2018 event, which will be held on August 18. Related to the event, the National Museum targets to attract many visitors from all countries involved in the Asian Games 2018. The event will invite 2,000 journalists and tens of thousands of athletes in Jakarta and Palembang. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In order to welcome the month of education and to commemorate the anniversary of the National Museum of Indonesia, in collaboration with the Dapur Dongeng and Theater Koma, once again held a historical fairy tale entitled Akhir Pekan at National Museum on Sunday, April 29. The performance was held in three sessions at 10, 11, and 12:30 West Indonesia Standard Time in the National Museum, Central Jakarta. Through this performance, the head of National Museum, Siswanto, given an opportunity to the community or society to make innovations in introducing the historical events. It was delivered during a press conference at the National Museum on Sunday, April 29. Therefore, beginning from this year, we are open to anyone, whether from community or white people, to innovate how to introduce the history, such a respect in the theater. Then all with evidence, not fairy tales. And really, it is the way of delivering with theatrical. Siswanto also added that in the midst of effort of a certain people, threatening the integrity of Indonesia, the museum can be a good space for children and families to learn as well as contemplate the things that become the power of the nation. In addition, at the National Museum, there are now more than 140,000 artifacts from the National Museum collection dating back to prehistoric times that proven the diversity and openness of Indonesian nation. PT Chandra Asri Petrochemical, a chemical company owned by PT Barito Pacific and Siam Cement Group, is preparing for a new factory which needs total investment of $5 billion. Chandra Asri President Director Erwin Ciputra said on Sunday, April 29, that the company subsidiary PT Chandra Asri Perkasa had begun the basic engineering design and aimed to finish it by the end of 2018. The final investment decision would be made in 2020, then the commercial operation would begin in 2024. He added that Chandra Asri Perkasa had signed 6 license and engineering design agreements, including with Chicago Bridge, an iron company subsidiary Lumus Technology, for a naphtha cracker and butadiene plant, GTC Technology for an aromatics recovery plant, Texplore for a high-density polyethylene plant, and Liondell Basel for low-density polyethylene and polypropylene plants. Erwin said these technology licenses are a significant milestone, reinforcing the plan to expand petrochemical footprint. The last item, Mayor of Surabaya East Java Tri Risma Hari Ini has said she will develop more urban forests for the city's better environment. The mayor said on Sunday in Surabaya, there are many urban forests in West Surabaya because the ground is higher and absorb water. West Surabaya's urban forests are located in Balas Klumprik, Kebraun, and Waru Gunung. The Surabaya municipality also plans to have herbal medicine parks, having various plants such as bamboo and moringa trees in Kebraun and Mulyorejo. Surabaya has also encouraged its inhabitants to plant paddies and vegetables. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on ASEAN to make IMTGT a building block. Indonesia as Vietnam to wrap up talks on maritime border. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in a regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is ASEAN Smart City Network. Heads of state and governments of ASEAN member countries have just met in the 32nd ASEAN Summit in Singapore on April 28, 2018. The theme of the summit was Resilient and Innovative ASEAN. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi expressed that Indonesia was satisfied with the positive results agreed at the 32nd ASEAN Summit. In addition, Indonesia also welcomed the initiative of ASEAN Smart City Network. Each country proposes a maximum of 3 cities to become part of ASEAN Smart City Network's cooperation. In the plenary session, President Joko Widodo said that he viewed the initiative as a very good one. Urban problem is very complex and the ASEAN Smart City Network is one of the answers to the challenge by building a sustainable and inclusive city with the support of the technology and innovation. It's natural for Indonesia to support the Smart City Network proposal because Indonesia is currently developing the movement towards 100 smart cities in 2018. The president includes 3 cities in Indonesia in the network of ASEAN Smart City Network, namely Jakarta, Banyuwangi, and Makassar. Banyuwangi and Makassar are considered to have fulfilled 6 smart city indicators in Indonesia, namely smart living, smart environment, smart mobility, smart governance, smart economy, and smart people. Indonesia, especially Jakarta, Banyuwangi, and Makassar, should make use this ASEAN Smart City Network because it will open with opportunities for small and medium enterprises to further develop and find new markets. In turn, this will improve the welfare of Indonesian people. It is hoped that the presence of this ASEAN Smart City Network will also increase collective security against common threats, transboundary threats such as terrorism, transnational crime, and cybercrime. May ASEAN Smart City Network be the answer to the challenges of building an innovative and resilient ASEAN community. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on April 30, 1945, when Adolf Hitler died. Adolf Hitler was a German politician and head of Nazi Party who was born in Austria. He had been appointed as German Chancellor since 1933 until 1945. Hitler became the main figure of Nazi at the World War II in Europe and Holocaust. On April 30, 1945, after a fierce battle and a head-off defeat against the Soviet Army, Hitler and his wife Eva Braun committed suicide. Braun took a bite of the cyanide capsule and Hitler shot himself. And the next event is that in 1980, Queen of the Dutch, Juliana, handed over the throne to her daughter, Beatrix. Queen Juliana Louise Mary Wilhelmina van Oranje-Nassau was born in the Den Haag on April 30, 1909. Was the Queen of the Dutch Kingdom from September 6, 1948 until April 30, 1980. She handed over the throne on her 71st birthday to her oldest daughter Beatrix. Juliana got married with Bernhard Schur Liebt Bisteford, a German noble, on January 7, 1937, and has four kids, namely Beatrix, Irene, Margaret, and Marigat. Then her name was changed to be Christina. Queen Juliana ascended throne, replacing her mother, Wilhelmina. Queen Juliana visited Indonesia in 1972. Although she resigned from political world, she was active in social field until 1995. And the last event is that in 2001, R. Maladi passed away. R. Maladi was known as sport figure. Actually, he was known as a minister of sport in 1962 until 1967. Even though previously he was associated as minister of information in 1959-1962. The figure was born in Solo on August 30, 1912. When he was young, he was a goalkeeper. He was also officiated as chairman of Indonesian Football Association, replacing Suratin. His selection as the chairman of Indonesian Football Association until his appointment as Minister of Sport by President Sukarno was to view his greatness and to love Indonesian sports. When becoming Minister of Sport, Maladi had a brilliant ideas to sport improvement, especially football. Towards Asian Games, once in New Delhi, India, Maladi brought in foreign trainer to handle Indonesian national football team, namely Choo Seng Kyu from Singapore and Tony Pogarnik from Yugoslavia. R. Maladi passed away on April 30, 2001 due to illness. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program My Indonesia through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, today's topic is President Joko Widodo wants Indonesian Muslim fashion to dominate world's market. President Joko Widodo wants Muslim fashion to dominate the world market, remembering the current economic value reached 54 trillion rupiah. When receiving 28 Muslim fashion community at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on last Thursday, President Joko Widodo wants the sale of value of Indonesian Muslim fashion to be increased, especially for overseas markets. President Joko Widodo also said that to make this come true, he has asked the related ministers to provide a forum in a bid to introduce Indonesian Muslim fashion in other countries. President Joko Widodo affirmed that there is a great opportunity for Indonesian Muslim fashion to dominate the world market. Besides, Indonesia has the largest Muslim population in the world. But there must be good cooperation among designers, Muslim fashion entrepreneurs, and the government. President also remarked that to support the development of the Muslim fashion industry, the government plans to provide more funds for this industry. He hopes that in the near future, there will be talks between the government and Muslim fashion business people in a bid to open the domestic market and export. The president believes cooperation between the government and Muslim fashion can encourage Muslims to enter the world market. Meanwhile, National Chairman of Indonesian Fashion Chamber, IFC, Ali Karisma, who is also a fashion designer, said that Indonesia has a great potential to dominate the world's Muslim fashion market. However, to encourage the expansion of Muslim fashion market abroad, the government also needs to provide better quality raw materials. After meeting President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java last Thursday, Ali Karisma also remarked that what is needed is the adjustment of Indonesian products to the world's standards, including the stylings. He perceived that the export of Indonesian Muslim fashion products will adapt to the stylings of local communities and the season in every country. The expansion of Indonesian Muslim fashion market share is also inseparable from government support. Secretary General of the National Crepe Council, Uis Saida, also expressed the same statement. She said that the growth of Muslim fashion in Indonesia increases every year. She also explained that the average growth of Indonesian industry reaches more than 10% per year. One indicator is the growing number of Muslim fashion industry players who market their products through various exhibitions. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has called on ASEAN member countries to make the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, IMTGT, a building block that could contribute to the regional association. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Saturday asked Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc to immediately wrap up negotiations on the exclusive economic zone between the two neighboring countries. Grand Sheikh of Al-Azhar Ahmed Muhammad Ahmed Al-Tayeb had arrived in Jakarta on Sunday. A press release of the President's Special Envoy for Dialogue and Interfaith Cooperation and Civilization in Jakarta has reported the arrival of Sheikh Al-Azhar to Indonesia in order to become a keynote speaker in high-level consultation of the World Muslim Scholars on Wasatiyat Islam in Bogor, West Java from May the 1st to 3rd. Head of the National Museum of Indonesia Siswanto said, to rejuvenate the National Museum, the museum managers will present a concept of story entitled Menjadi Indonesia or Being Indonesia. In order to welcome the month of education and commemorate the anniversary of the National Museum of Indonesia, in collaboration with the Dapur Dongeng and Theater Koma, once again held a historical fairy tale entitled Akhir Pekan at National Museum on Sunday, April 29. PT Chandra Asri Petrochemical, a chemical company owned by PT Barito Pacific and Siam Cement Group, is preparing for a new factory which needs total investment of $5 billion. Mayor of Surabaya East Java Tri Risma Hari Ini has said she will develop more urban forests for the city's better environment. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Locale Cave in Papua. Stay tuned. Listeners, Papua is an expanse of tropical rainforest and it consists of steep valleys and high mountains. Even most mountains are covered with snow. Among the valleys, there is a mysterious and enchanting cave. The cave is called Locale. Listeners, Locale Cave is located at Woslimo Village, Balian Valley, Jayawijaya Regency, Papua. The cave was opened for the first time in 1992. It is believed as the longest cave in the world because until now the cave is not found its tip yet. The farthest trip in the cave just reaches 3 kilometers. Because of the long cave, many academicians predict that the cave can reach Jayapura region. Listeners, although the tip of the Locale Cave is unknown, the cave is not a horrific place. Pleasure impression will be easy to get when someone enters the cave. One of the things which makes the cave delightful is that there are some points on the wall of the cave which has hollow, produces melodious sounds when knocking. With soft knocking, sound will be heard. The sound produces irregular tones and can form unique musical composition. Besides, inside the cave, it is very dark. When entering the cave, it is suggested to bring fresh light or torch. Listeners, Locally Cave has a distance around 25 kilometers from Wamena City. The access to the cave is quite easy because the route has been paved. The cave can be accessed by using 2 or 4 motor vehicles. It is located on the edge of the route axis of the Regency, so you do not need to walk far or climb to reach the cave. Its strategic place makes the cave good attraction for family. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Locally Cave in Papua. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia along with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Dengan Siapa, or in English, with whom. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about dengan siapa, or in English, with whom. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The location of conversation is in Prambanan Temple. Tony meet Joko. Joko asks Tony with whom he goes to Prambanan Temple. Stay tuned.
Dengan siapa kamu kesini?
Sendiri.
Kamu?
Dengan keluarga.
Di mana mereka?
Itu di sana.
After we listen to the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today about dengan siapa, or in English, with whom. I say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Dengan siapa? Dengan siapa? In English, with whom? Dengan siapa kamu kesini? Dengan siapa kamu kesini? In English, with whom do you come here? Sendiri. Sendiri. In English, by myself. Dengan keluarga. Dengan keluarga, in English, with my family. Di mana mereka? Di mana mereka? In English, where are they? Itu di sana. Itu di sana. In English, over there. To ask about who accompany you to come or to go, you can use phrase dengan siapa. Dengan siapa in English with whom. For example, dengan siapa kamu ke sini? Dengan siapa kamu ke sini? In English, with whom do you come here? Dengan siapa kamu ke Indonesia? Dengan siapa kamu ke Indonesia? In English, with whom do you come to Indonesia? To answer the question, if you come alone, you can say sendiri, sendiri in English, by myself. In a complete sentence, you can say saya kesini sendiri. Saya kesini sendiri. In English, I come here by myself. If you come together with other people, you can say dengan. Dengan. In English, with. Followed by the name or your relationship with the people, for example, dengan Nina. Dengan Nina. In English, with Nina. Dengan teman. Dengan teman. In English, with my friend. And dengan keluarga. Dengan keluarga. In English, with my family. For example, completely. Dengan siapa kamu kesini? Dengan siapa kamu kesini? In English, with whom do you come here? You can answer dengan teman. Dengan teman. In English, with my friend. Or dengan siapa kamu kesini? Dengan siapa kamu kesini? In English, with whom do you come here? You can answer, saya kesini dengan keluarga. Saya kesini dengan keluarga. In English, I come here with my family. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Dengan siapa kamu kesini?
Sendiri.
Kamu?
Dengan keluarga.
Di mana mereka?
Itu di sana.
Listener, as an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders, and please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. Please convey more information, if any. For example, selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present Kroncong Song. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Rindu Lukisan by M. Rivani.
Rindu lukisan mata suratan hatiku nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang, mengapa mendusta seribu kata. Mungkin kapulan merindukan kumbang, dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau, risau deh aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Aku pun demikian, rindu sudah nasi untung di suratan hatiku nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang, mengapa mendusta seribu kata. Mungkinkah bulan merindukan kumbang, dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau, risau di aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian, rindu sudah nasi untung di badan.
Just listen to a beautiful song by an Indonesian male singer with a distinctive and powerful vocal character, M. Rivani. The song Rindu Lukisan tells about deepest longing but cannot be expressed it. Rindu Lukisan is an old kroncong song written with poetry and beautiful rhythms so that the song is everlasting. There are not many references and information about the career of M. Rivani in the entertainment world, especially kroncong music. But a number of kroncong albums of M. Rivani has proven his contribution to the Indonesian kroncong music, including Kroncong Tempo Dulu Volume 2, Kroncong Tempo Dulu Volume 3, and M. Rivani Kroncong Gold album. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ariati by M. Rivani. Enjoy the song.
Ariati, di kau mawar asuhan rembulan. Ariati, di kau gemilang seni pujaan. Dosa kahamba tadi malam, dosa hamba mengujani kau dalam mimpi. Hanya dalam terpetik daku walaupun demikian nasibku, namun aku bahagia seribu satu seribu satu malam.
You've just listened to the song Ariati That's Still Nice to Be Listened. The song Ariati was composed by an Indonesian productive composer, Ismail Marzuki. Like the previous song, it is also the love song telling about admiration to a woman. Like the lyrics, Ariati, dikau mawar asuhan rembulan. Ariati, dikau gemilang seni pujaan. In addition to be dedicated in kroncong genre, the song Ariati is also presented in pop genre. Not surprisingly, the old song is still popular and famous among the Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Pulau Kelapa and Di Bawah Sinar Bulan Purnama by M. Rivani. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Tanah airku Indonesia. Negeri elok amat ku cinta, tanah tumpah darahku yang mulia, yang ku puja sepanjang masa, tanah airku aman dan thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.